Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in your everyday life. Hey everyone, Pastor David here with Pastor Liz Jones and Pastor Bob Wilk. And today we're going to continue breaking down Mark.
Right? Scary, huh?
Today we're going to continue breaking down Mark chapter 1.
He's getting ready for this unclean spirit part.
Why are we breaking down things?
Unpack.
Oh, okay, we're unpacking.
Is that better? Okay. What preacher term would you like? Exegete. Okay. All right. We're not exegeting really because it's not the language, original language. All right. Well, let's look at this. So last time we got it through John the Baptist. We got through the wilderness. We got through the calling of the first disciples.
We did like 20 scriptures there.
Mm-hmm. Mark's really accelerating us through the first couple weeks and
David's like,
months.
Yes. Next. Okay. Are we done with this story? Okay. Let's
immediately,
move on.
Immediately. Check out how many times you hear immediately. All right. So verse 21, then they went into Capernaum and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught, and they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee.
Wow. It was an immediately in the beginning and immediately at the end.
Immediately.
So much immediately mm-hmm. happening.
Immediately of God.
The demon was pretty immediate too. So, hey, Jesus. Look at this guy. He just ruins the service. That's what demons do. They just ruin stuff. Service. It was probably a nice message by the rabbi. Everyone's just enjoying their Saturday. This demon goes, who is this guy? You know, he just ruins it.
Yeah, he outed Jesus and then Jesus outed him.
Yep. Literally.
It was really interesting how that went down.
It's well said.
Yeah.
What do you think about this?
Well, I think it's important. Jesus, he comes in and he's actually teaching with authority. Mm. And obviously that disturbed
somebody.
That disturbed some things that were happening in the church. Let's not forget this was in the church. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times that, you know, people can come into church with a lot of things coming with them. Mm-hmm. And unless the word goes with power and authority, they can leave exactly the same way, you know?
Probably worse.
Well, he made the distinction that it wasn't like they made the distinction. It wasn't like the scribes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they saw a difference because of the power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they may have had the same doctrines, teaching out of the same scriptures.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But the power wasn't there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kind of.
Well, and the demons recognize the difference.
Yeah. They were completely happy and at home prior to the power showing up. It's like we could get along really well in this church. I'm a big believer that demons love church.
Okay.
Maybe you can expand on that more.
Well, they're religious beings. You know, and so is, you know, like Satan. He's a religious being. He's used to being over the, you know, the throne of God. He's used to, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, or I'm going to say spiritual stuff.
Mm-hmm. You think he's like, oh, I wrote this song.
Well, not in the synagogue. But,
anyway. I'm positive he says that.
Yeah.
And he's like, and I get no credit. I want the credit. I want the credit. He's, you know, that's him, right?
Oh my God.
Like, I should have played the lead on that guitar and sung.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think that sometimes, you know, we have this worship song that says, like, you know, when we come in, like, every demon trembles in church, and it's just not true.
It's not true.
I mean, this guy was part of the synagogue. He'd been there, you know? And it's not until Jesus actually begins to preach the word with authority and anointing, and then things start to get disrupted. And that's actually what should happen. It should happen in our gatherings as the church of God, is that there should be the word with authority. And I don't mean just the message. I mean the word, the people coming together in truth, that should disrupt some things. It should unsettle some things. It gets a little messy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this guy was probably pretty comfortable in that synagogue.
Yeah.
think about it. He might have been just fine there for who knows how long. Could have easily happened, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting. And this is a man with unclean spirit. And this is and he starts arguing. The spirit's, you know, let us alone. I love that. Like, what are we doing here? I was comfortable.
Did you come to destroy us?
It is. Everything was nice until you showed up. Like, we had a good gig here at church.
Well, when this guy sees the Messiah, he thinks, oh, it's all over.
Oh, well.
So they actually thought.
They thought it was the end.
God's plan through the cross was totally unknown to them. It says, like, if they would have known it, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. Mm-hmm. They thought, oh, well, he'll just come and try to fight a war or start to do stuff. He'll destroy us or throw us in the pit or something. They never thought he was going to die at their hands to take on sin and to raise humanity back to its place with God, to reconcile man to God. Right. It's just God's wisdom is so far beyond what the principalities and powers have.
They were just watching out for themselves, in other words, right?
Yeah, they're self-focused. Like, oh, no. don't kick me out of here, right? I got this house all nice and the way I want it here.
Nice and toasty.
I don't want to have to find some other religious person to live inside, you know? what do you think makes for preaching with authority? Like, how's that something? Like, I don't know, maybe I'll ask you guys, like, when you're bringing the word of God, how do you bring it with authority? Mm. What's the difference between just doctrine and doctrine with authority?
I think that understanding your assignment is a big thing, because when the Lord gives you an assignment, he gives you everything that's needed to complete that assignment. He gives his anointing, he gives his authority, which are really the same thing, capability, power, all of that comes with it. And understanding, I think the difference between a scribe to me is, like, you can tell when someone is saying something that someone else said, you know, it's not a personal revelation. It's not a personal revelation of truth that's tried their heart and been birthed inside of them and now is coming out. I think that's where you find that life, the anointing, the authority that comes with it, because it's a personal revelation that God has established in you. So I think a scribe is different, because they're ones that are like, well, we copied this thing that we heard and we're just telling you what this person says, or what this, you know, what we heard here, we heard there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think also, you know, this side of the cross and the shedding of the Holy Spirit on us, I mean, we have, you know, we have sonship, so we're now in that same position, and we have Holy Spirit. And I believe, if you're asking personally, I believe that, you know, when we teach or preach, or, and not even just preaching and teaching, but when we operate in authority, it comes when we're yielded to Holy Spirit in our lives. Like, when we actually yield to him and we don't let ourselves get in the way of him coming forward. Mm-hmm. And so, and which can happen. It can, by the way, that can happen with the best of intentions. Mm-hmm. You could be like, I just want to do good at this. I want it to be, you know, really clear and clean, which you should be, right? With, you know, when we're preaching and teaching and whatever else we're doing for God. But when we get in the way of Holy Spirit bringing it the way he wants it brought, with his power, because that's a big hunk of what Holy Spirit was promised to us for, like I said, that yielding is changes the atmosphere, and then we don't glory in that. Like, the flesh doesn't glory in that. God glories in that, because you're like, oh, so Holy Spirit's coming here. And I believe same thing, you know, obviously they recognized Jesus and his purpose was to come to destroy the works of the devil, right? So they got it. They got that part. But I think they also realized Holy Spirit in him, you know, filled. And they're like, oh, this is a problem down here. You know, you know, it's one thing if he's a guy, but if he's a guy with Holy Spirit, we got real problems going on.
Yeah, I look at it as like a confrontation. Like, you're always coming up against what the enemy's doing. Mm-hmm. So if you don't see it that way, like, I think scribal stuff and teaching is important if the person's alive and God can help organize their thoughts and, you know, give them good doctrine and teaching that will feed them. And but if the person is under bondage, that's not going to, all you're doing is rearranging the planks on the Titanic while it goes down. You know, like, you're not, you need to do something about it. And so you come in being sent by God, like you said, to do something. And so every believer is sent to mm-hmm. confront the kingdom of darkness. Mm-hmm. And when you reveal the word of God, which is Jesus, you know, he's revealing himself through his preaching, that creates no space for the kingdom of darkness. The light is shining. The dark can't overcome that. Right. So if you really are preaching Jesus and slamming Jesus into someone, which would, however that looks, really, it, like, you can't, the unclean spirits can't, they either have to, the person either has to hold on to him or be delivered. Like mm-hmm. there's really no middle ground there. So he's like, you know, my word is a sword. It really is like, you're either with me or against me.
Right.
So he's coming in like a blade, mm-hmm. you know, and I see effective preaching that way. Mm-hmm. You can do it with a lot of love, but you're still, you know, swinging a sword. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if every preacher mm-hmm. thinks about it that way, mm-hmm. but I think it would help. Right. Yeah.
You know, it strikes me as interesting because, like you said, the end of that set of scriptures where the people, where they respond and they're like, what new doctrine is this? So they're like yeah. so used to being fed doctrinal things. Mm-hmm. I'm going to even say just things that maybe weren't exactly doctrine. They were maybe more just things that they were taught, you know, that people practiced. They were, you know, they weren't really Bible doctrine.
So they had a lot of tradition.
Right. A lot of tradition, a lot of, you know, they substituted actually a lot yeah. of that. And so, and they do today, by the way. Mm-hmm. So, matter of fact, churches do a lot of that too today, even right. spirit-filled ones. And so, but it's interesting, the people kind of wanted to put it in the box of, oh, it's a new doctrine, and that's why it is. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, for with authority, he commands. So now they're again pointing to this authority thing, going, what's going on with this guy? Mm-hmm. Like, where's he come from? How do, you know, that even the spirits are subject to him,
yeah.
and obey him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, like I said, I think if we yield to that, we would be surprised how many spirits would yield to us and just in our yeah. lives and in the lives of people around us.
Well, because we're in the one that is head over every power and principality mm-hmm. and throne. Mm-hmm. That's like, no, I had said at the end of the last podcast, this was totally new. Like mm-hmm. the Old Testament, the one miracle you won't see, you'll even see people raised from the dead. You won't see an unclean spirit cast out of someone. Mm-hmm. The closest you get is David being able to soothe King Saul. But Jesus is coming as the Holy One of God,
right.
the ruler of heaven, and they know it. So that's why the people are going, this is crazy. Even the unclean spirits,
right.
this is the Son of David. That linked to some of their traditions. Mm-hmm. Son of David would be casting out demons, stuff right. like that.
Well, they had learned to live with it.
Yeah.
That was the issue, right? Mm-hmm. That's a sad issue when you actually think about right. it. That when you just got, you learn to just be accommodate. Mm-hmm. This mm-hmm. is the way it is. This is the way those people are. And this poor guy, he's whacked like this and mm-hmm. it's the way it is. And, you know, it's not supposed to be, apparently.
Mm, amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. If we go on reading, it says, now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. And he came. Oh, at once. That's different than immediately, but
it's pretty
so.
Close.
So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her and she served them.
Jesus, wow. taking care of business.
Yeah. Like I said, the more you read in Mark, the more it sounds like Peter to me. He's that kind of like, okay, let's do this now. Yep. It's him. Like, you know, let's jump in. Let's jump out of the boat. Let's get, you know, he's that guy. He's that. And so it does sound a lot more like him than, I don't know. Mark may have been
a little more impulsive. More,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like I said, I think he was dictated by, you know.
He's writing a comic book.
Yeah. The graphic novel of the New Testament. Yeah.
Then this happened. Mm-hmm. Bam, bam, this happened.
And the bam, bam things above him. Yeah. Swish, boom.
Out, comes out.
It's interesting. In other gospels, they say he rebuked the fever, just like he rebuked the demon.
Yeah.
It's the same.
Yeah.
Sometimes we think like, oh, he had authority is over a demon because that's a person. They can respond to the authority, but maybe not sickness. Maybe sickness is different, but he doesn't treat it that way.
Yeah.
He just has authority over all of it.
Yeah.
He just makes people whole, spirit, soul, and body.
Yeah, like I said, I believe it was Peter dictating because, you know, he threw in a Peter thing and his mother-in-law. It's like, mm-hmm. of course she was, you know, and then it's like, and then she served us.
Mm-hmm. It was a good meal that night.
That was a Peter guy. It was a Peter thing. I don't care anybody says. I'm sticking with my theory.
It's a good preacher point. When Jesus delivers you, it's time to rise and serve.
Yes.
It's not time to just, oh, cool, I'm saved. I'm good now. It's time to rise and serve.
Immediately.
Yep. I mean, at once. At once you start volunteering for that cleanup crew. You go do it.
Well, when you're, you know, one thing you notice about Jesus, whenever someone's raised from the dead, immediately he's having them fed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. I have some theories about that one, too, that have nothing to do with the Bible, but has more to do with, like, your, yeah, just your physical body, you know, when it dies, it's, you know, and, you know, it starts to deteriorate, and he's raising you spiritually and soulishly, and now your body needs to be nourished.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It just makes sense. I mean, he did that with Lazarus. He did it with the little girl.
Yeah, he's not going to raise you from the dead just so you could die of starvation.
Yeah.
That's not very efficient. Wow. Any other thoughts on this one?
Yeah, Liz.
All right.
Just Jesus, he doesn't negotiate, you know? I think a lot of times we try to negotiate our way around demons and sickness. And
what's your name? How long have you been in there?
He doesn't negotiate. He just commands.
Yeah, that's so good. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of deliverance stuff where it's like, here's all the different holy waters you need. Right. You need to say this name and how long has it been there? And it's like, well, no.
Yeah, I know. There's so many things. Have them go back into this and have them renounce this and have them say this. And have it's like this formula. And he's like, come out. Mm-hmm. Be quiet and come out.
Yeah, pretty simple. Paul did the same thing. He got so annoyed with the girl that had the...
Not right now. Wait till after the podcast.
Podcast is over. Can we take care of this? No.
Remember the girl that annoyed Paul so much that he just cast the demon out of her?
I love that.
I relate to that. It actually says that. Luke was traveling with Paul, so he's like, let me tell you, he was not happy. He was annoyed.
Oh, you're getting it delivered. That's great. Can you deliver,
arise and
deliver
serve
yourself
us.
Over on that side?
Let me make you some food.
Okay. Wow. Okay. At evening, when the sun had set. That's good. They kind of...
Oh, you got some drama.
Yeah,
got some ambiance here.
Some drama.
They brought to him all who were sick. Oh, this is the devil's time. The sun had set. Mm. You can't go against devils at night. Oh, no. They brought those that were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him.
That's so interesting. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't let them say what they knew about him.
A messianic secret.
That's, there's something to be learned here. When you're dealing with something in your life, a spiritual influence, you shouldn't be talking to it.
Right.
You shouldn't negotiate with it. There should be no, like, oh, what do you think about it? Yeah, well, I know what I think about this. How do you feel about this? It's like, no, you got to go. Mm-hmm. You just got to go. And that's.
Yeah. Well, I think one thing I hear, like, because we'll say this, you don't need to negotiate with the devil. You don't argue with him, blah, blah, blah. And people are like, well, Jesus did that in the wilderness. I'm like, I think he was quoting those scriptures for himself, mm-hmm. like rehearsing the truth of God in his own mind, mm-hmm. in his own life. You know, I don't think that's like he's negotiating, like, well, yeah, you make a good point, but the Bible says this, you know, like it wasn't like this back and forth, like, you present your point and I'll present my point and we'll see who wins.
What did he actually say? Get behind me, Satan.
That was not
be gone.
That didn't sound like a negotiation. You shall not serve the Lord your God. Him only will you,
worship. You had to tell him a couple times.
Who's he saying that to? Like, he's not saying that, Satan, you should serve the Lord your God. He's saying that over his own life. This is the truth. I'm rehearsing the truth in my own mind. I'm not negotiating with the devil. I don't need to have an argument and let everyone present their case. And
you mean,
like,
you don't
let's
have to
see
have
who
the
went.
Perfect scripture when the devil comes.
No, you just need to, like, remind yourself, this is who I am. This is what I believe. This is what I live for. And I'm moving forward now.
Because negotiations has associated with it that you're going to convince the other person or the other thing to see it your way. And guess what?
Yeah.
He ain't going to see it your way.
Negotiation implies that the other party has something of value to bring.
Yep.
That's what it That is what it is, right?
You're trying to get something from it, and yeah, and there's no reason.
There's no middle ground. No.
It's a lose-lose.
No. I just love this.
A win-win.
I just love this scene. It's dark at night. People going crazy with demons. He's like, get out, get out, get out. He's not bothered by it.
Right.
You know, and it really is like a comfort that greater is he in us than he who is in the world. You know, people that struggle with fear and they're like, oh, the demons are after me. The enemy is attacking my life. Well, okay. But how, you know, good. Yeah, let's pray for you. But like, who's your God? You know, look at him. Look at his courage. Like, look at his confidence. Look at his authority. That's who lives in us, you know.
He had an endless supply with all those synagogues. I mean, that's where it was happening, right? Mm-hmm. When they went to their synagogues throughout all Galilee. I mean, that's where it was going down.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not in a
He was preaching
a house? In
synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out.
Well, he went to the house.
First, it was in a house, and they brought them to the house.
Yeah. Okay, yeah,
they brought them to the house.
It's there, but then all of Galilee, that all thing again. He's all over Galilee, and all over these synagogues.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of stuff going down.
Yeah, I love the verse when it says, "And all the city was gathered at the door," mm-hmm. like they're coming, they're seeing what's happening, and I think churches shouldn't be afraid to let the world see what's happening. Mm-hmm. It's not maybe they don't understand it, but they didn't understand here. But people don't need to understand always. They see and they sense truth and they sense power and they sense authority and they're drawn and they respond to that. So I think sometimes we're really worried about if we can explain.
Yeah.
If we can explain to people in a way that they'll understand it and they won't be afraid of it. It's like sometimes maybe they need to be afraid of it a little bit.
Well, actually. Also, is that really explaining? Is that just trying to naturalize it?
Right. You're that's what to I'm naturalize saying. Naturalize
something that's spiritual.
And we can't have anything happen that we can't explain. You know, I just think that's like what a control. Formula. Yeah. What a formula for a dead church.
Yeah.
You know,
explaining is just another way to control.
Yeah.
And you can't control everything that's going to happen. They couldn't control Jesus.
No.
He came into town. That was not what happened. It says he didn't allow the demons to speak. He had total control because they knew him. And I think it was just a little note we need to understand is that he's not trying to tell everyone he's the Messiah flat out because he's not trying to get appointed king. He's not trying to start a political revolution. Mm-hmm. He's here to minister, to declare the truth, and then die. You know, and that's also part of the plan is that he's not notifying the powers of darkness that the crucifixion is the end goal because they're actually being baited into killing him to destroy their own kingdom, to commit spiritual suicide by putting him on the cross. So there's a couple reasons why he's doing this messianic
secret.
They didn't
need a lot of convincing.
Mm-hmm. What?
They didn't need a lot of convincing.
No, they played right into it. Like they fell right into God's trap that he's been setting up. But there's just a couple reasons. Some people are like, why didn't he let him speak? What's his, you know? But those are a couple of the reasons why. He didn't. Mm-hmm. Now this is cool. So there's a whole on revival service. Jesus is the most popular guy in town. He's healing everyone. All the demons are coming out. He's great. His doctrines with power. Everybody loves him. This is the Messiah we want. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place. And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said, everyone's looking for you. But he said, let us go in the next towns. That I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Mm-hmm. So they just couldn't find him the next day. The keynote speaker was missing.
Poor Jesus. Every time he tries to be alone, they can find him.
Can you just leave me
it's
alone?
It's like you. I just need a little alone time and then I'll be okay.
I never get it though.
Never neither get it.
No wonder he was irritable sometimes. He's like, stop, storm. Just stop. Stop.
He finally had to go out onto the water.
Where's your faith?
Get away from everybody.
You guys go ahead. I'll catch up.
How is it you don't understand? I'm not talking about prayer. Right.
How long must I be with
5,000? 4,000.
Right.
You still don't understand?
And now you know what it is to have children, right? He had many kids. Yeah.
Well,
oh, Lord.
Yeah, he had a pretty good prayer life, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why would Jesus have to pray?
Why, Bob? Why, Pastor Bob? Why did Jesus have to pray? Isn't he God?
Yes, he's all God. He's talking to himself, I suppose. Mm. No. Yeah. He was all man also. Yeah. Yeah. And he was all connected to the Father and the Holy Spirit all the time. And so he didn't neglect that. Mm-hmm. So he had to, actually. I think he's compelled by the love of the Father to pray, spend time with him. Well, that's if you consider prayer a religious act or an actual communing with the Father. I mean, it can be either one, I suppose, but depending on how you approach it.
Yeah, it's a challenge to me as a minister because I think he already got the 40-day fast complete. He already got the anointing. He already got the healing. He already got the deliverance. He already got the teaching skills. He's already got the crowds. He's already got the fame. Why is he still praying? What's he asking God for? Well, because he just wants God's company.
Right.
That's really what he wants out of God, is just his company. And that's what we need, you know, to like just enjoy our time with the Father and be refreshed and be directed, you know.
I think he's giving a good example, as well as he's just showing his life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That intimacy with the Father, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have anything else on that before we move on? Mm-hmm. Let's see. So this is a good one. It's all good.
Yeah, this is a good one.
Verse 40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but he was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction.
I love in the King James, it says, he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter.
Wow.
Blaze abroad.
King James is a pretty good translation, huh?
Yeah.
You can get past the these and thous and maketh
blaze abroad. That's cool.
I know.
I never saw that.
Blaze abroad.
That's pretty good.
Blazer.
Set the place on fire.
Trailblazer.
Well, in the Amplified, it says that
too long.
He stretched out his hands, he put on rubber gloves and wore a mask.
Oh.
That's the Super Amplified.
Wow.
I guess it's not too soon to be saying this.
Oh yeah.
If you're still offended by this, you've been watching way too much PBS. So way too much NPR.
You're fine.
He touched an infected guy.
You mean that Christianity is not a sanitary thing? Is that what you're saying?
It's not safe. It's not sanitary. It's none of the above.
Yeah. Is it pasteurized? Pasteurized.
Pasteurized.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Okay, good. It's flowing. It's flowing it. Now.
No.
It's flowing down.
It's of no profit, too.
Profit.
Profit.
Wow.
There are several profits. Yeah. Well, this is just an incredible thing. If you look at the parallel in Matthew, he had just come down from teaching the Sermon on the Mount. And he had just taught all about, here's what the kingdom is. Let me teach it to you. And then I think he illustrates it right away. This guy comes up to him and goes down on his knees. He's an outcast. He's religiously outcast. He's ceremonially unclean. He's not fit for the temple grounds. He can't approach God. He's supposed to run around, cover his face and say, "I'm unclean. Stay away from me." That's what he's supposed to do. And he goes, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." Mm-hmm. And Jesus goes, "I am willing." And he actually just touches him. And he doesn't receive uncleanness. He transmits sanctity. He transmits wholeness and cleansing to the leper.
It's crazy faith when you think about it. Mm-hmm. When you think about the leper and his faith, just believing. I mean, everything else was against him.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, not accepted, didn't fit in, probably shouldn't have been anywhere around the place. Shouldn't have even made the request. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, and that's, I suppose, where we need to be with Jesus. Because in some ways we're all a little bit of leper,
and
people ever feel
so unclean and dirty that they wouldn't approach Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
They might stay far away.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or they might say, well, God's just not willing. Mm-hmm. He's able, but he's just not willing.
Right. I'm stuck with this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Said, what a great faith that guy
I'm willing.
Wonder what that guy became.
Yeah. You never know. I think it's cool that, oh, good. You had something.
I was just going to say, I love the part where he tells him how to be with the priests, you know, mm-hmm. go there. I mean, he's actually very honoring. He's saying, go there and do the things according to the law, which Jesus understood what, you know, he was coming mm-hmm. to fulfill the law, but he's saying, go and fulfill, do all the things right according to the law so that, if there's a chance for them. You know, it was like this, like testimony for them. Maybe yes. there's something that will come through, but it comes through honor. And I think that there's such a key there for how to reach people who are in a religious mindset is that there has to first be honor, mm-hmm. And then
yes,
you know, the honor comes first, and then there's a way of coming to where they are, in hopes that they could receive the truth. Mm. You know.
When Jesus did that himself, right? Like with paying the taxes, and
yes.
you know, everything he did was very honorable, if you will. Mm. You know, show yourself to the priest. Show, you know, do the things that are right,
right.
and establish. And you go, wow, you're putting him under the law. No, you're fulfilling mm-hmm. law actually mm-hmm. in that process.
There's another element to this because he's healing the man in every single dimension. So he's healing his physical body. He's healing his spirit because he's putting him in connection with God. He's healing his soul because he's actually touching him. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, you are acceptable. And then he's healing him socially because when you went to the priest, he would actually approve you and he would reintegrate you into the religious community so that you could talk to people again. Mm-hmm. So when Jesus comes and you've come into his family, you get healed in every single element of your life. And included in that is relationality, mm-hmm. like having a place to belong and people that are walking with you. And Jesus wants that for him. Yes, a testimony to those that are going to check him out. That's equally true. But also just, hey, you have a way back now. Mm-hmm. You're no longer just out doing your thing, surviving, yeah. right?
So. I just also, in my mind, I imagine that this guy, after he walked with Jesus, received him, and you know, was there possibly when he got, you know, when the Holy Spirit came, he got filled with the Holy Spirit and the church is born. And I'm guessing this guy's like got him, his ministries in the leper colonies.
Oh yeah.
I mean, come on, think about it.
Probably.
Imagine him just going to the people he's, you know, been, you know, healed from. Like just what a, why not? I mean, that's who we are, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's who we are. We go to, you know, we were once dead.
Yeah.
And now we're alive and we're going to a dead and dying world. Mm-hmm. And it's same thing. They're untouchable. They're all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And yet God's like, you know, like I said, I just believe because of the call to evangelism and the call to spread the gospel, you know, why not? It would make so much sense to me if that guy actually showed up there. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe someday we'll figure it out or hear from God himself. He'll tell us, but it's, you know. It just seems like so normal. That's what he expects of us.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it's just powerful how, you know, I said the leper, he wasn't allowed to approach the temple, but the temple approached him.
Yeah.
You know, and so Jesus is the temple of God, and he reached out and touched that man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Paul teaches we all are the temple of God. Mm-hmm. And so we are actually not waiting for people to come to us.
Exactly.
We're going to them.
Exactly.
Like you said, we can't be intimidated by any sort of uncleanness, because we remember that we were taken out of that and we come as representatives of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So I think it's amazing just his willingness and his power and his connection to this guy. It says so much about who Jesus is. I'll often use this passage when I'm speaking to somebody about who Jesus is and but they're like, well, I don't believe in religion or this and that. And I'll explain this whole thing. And just like the incredible beauty and love and power that's in this account, you can't help but look at it and go, that is pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. I even if I don't believe that's true, I wish it was true. I wish that God is really like this.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is he actually is, you know?
Yes.
So I think it's a really powerful encounter, but, we moved all the way through this. Was there anything else you guys were thinking about here?
12 more chapters, you think? Yeah. Maybe. No. It's
a, I don't know. Got the paralytic guy. What's how much time do we have here?
Yeah.
We could wrap up?
Yeah. Okay. We should end this immediately. Yeah.
Oh.
And immediately.
Okay. Immediately. Why don't you
straight away?
Why doesn't Pastor Liz immediately Pastor Liz
should do
close the episode? Yeah, go for it.
All right. I'm gonna take pray. Us out here. I'm gonna pray.
It's a good thing.
Is it?
It is a good thing.
Okay.
You know, the washing of the water of the word is a good thing. And I think people have been washed by this.
Mm. All right.
Yeah.
Amen.
All right, Father, we thank you for your word that speaks to us. It's a living word, and it speaks to us today just as much as when it was written. And so we thank you that it's speaking to your people, speaking to them exactly what they need for right where they are. Father, I just pray for an immediate faith, Lord, to be able to respond quickly to your call, to respond quickly to your word, to be sensitive to the moving of your spirit, and to be those who will go into action immediately when we hear your voice, Lord. I just pray for a quick responding faith, a quick responding willingness, one who's that we'd be people who are willing to step into right what you're doing. Right when you're doing it, Lord. So we thank you for the account of Mark. We thank you, God, for using ordinary people to display your greatness and to communicate who you are, Father. And we ask that you do the same thing with us, Lord. You'd use us the same way. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we'll see you guys next time. Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, visit SpiritSchoolOfMinistry.com.